Well, this morning I want to invite you, if you have your Bibles, to go ahead and turn to John chapter 15. We're going to be looking at that text in a few moments, and we'll be starting at the first verse as we begin. And as we do, let's just prepare our hearts. Let's bow. Lord, as we now come to your word, we just pray that, Lord, our hearts would be open to what is it you want to say to us. Lord, I pray that I would be out of the way and Jesus, you would be seen, and what is said and done would bring you glory and honor, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, over the last several weeks, we've been walking through a series of the I am statements of Jesus. And today we're going to be talking about I am the true vine. And we're going to, as we look at this text of John chapter 15, let me just set it up for you a little bit before we start to embark on it. This text, if you look in John, there is a number of chapters that are in this time, this same time frame. They're happening during the last week of Jesus' life on earth. They're during the Passover week, and Jesus has gathered with his disciples in the upper room. And as they've gathered, they have partaken of the Last Supper meal. They have taken of the bread and the juice, which is how we get our resemblance of communion. Jesus has washed the disciples' feet. He has told them that one of them is going to betray him. And then he dismisses Judas to go do what he needs to do. Doesn't necessarily say why he's being dismissed, he just is. And so then Jesus goes into this text and he shares with us in John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. So the first thing that Jesus basically says, he says, I am the true vine. And what is really important for us to understand is that in the Israel culture, the image of the vine was often equated to the nation of Israel. So even if you was to go to the ancient temple that existed at the time of Jesus, there were golden pillars in the front, and across the top of those, there was a vine that had been crafted there, and it was to remind them that Israel is the one in which God is working through. They are the people. It's through the tribe of Israel that life is being released out into the world, kind of thing. And all of a sudden, in this statement, Jesus comes and says, it's not Israel that's the vine. I am the true vine. Real life is coming through me. Now, that would have caused some eyebrows to raise a little bit. It's like, wait a minute. Israel's the chosen people. They're the ones who have the law. They're the ones who have the great patriarchs and prophets of old. That's where God's moving. And Jesus says, actually, all along, the true vine has been me. So there's an image that he's reestablishing. He's changing the paradigm, so to speak, as he moves along. And he's saying that this vine, as he's talked about, is the real source of life. And it's not only the source of life for the Jews, which is what it meant to be a part of the tribe of Israel. It was primarily for Jewish people. It's now been opened up to the world. It's a much broader scope. And that he is the true vine. His job is to produce branches ultimately in the world. Then Jesus goes on in the text and he says, and my Father is the gardener. Now, I don't know about y'all, but this kind of gets kind of wonky, doesn't it? All of a sudden, Jesus says, I am the vine. And then my Father is the vine dresser or the gardener. Wait a minute, split personality? What's going on? And in John chapter 10, if you remember, Jesus says, I and the Father are one. So what he's painting a picture of that God the Father in heaven has now come physically into our world in Jesus, ultimately to bring life. And so God the Father is caring for this vine, this for Jesus as he's come into the world now to produce some things and some things to happen in and through his ministry and life in our midst. So the vine dresser, God's role is to first of all take care of the vine. So one of the ways it was primary, here's a kind of a picture of the vine. So you can see here when it's all cut back, this is the vine, and out of it the branches are produced. Now, if this was not cared for, and you can see there's kind of some trellising of various things, if this was not cared for, those branches would eventually grow down and they would go along the ground. And as they grew, the leaves would be in the ground, they would get dust on them, they'd get mildew on them as moisture gets with them, and those branches can get sick. So they really don't become very productive. In fact, they could actually die in it. I mean, it would not be a good scenario. So a good vine dresser or gardener is going to come in and lifts up the branches and ties them onto a trellis and then washes off the leaves and cares for them so that they can be healthy and they can produce good fruit. Now, as we walk towards Holy Week, think about what Jesus came to do. Jesus came from God ultimately to come to the cross to take our sin that we might be washed of our sin and our brokenness. And he comes to cleanse us and lift us up so that ultimately our lives can be productive. And so in a sense here, Jesus is painting a picture. I mean, the vine dresser is coming through me to do this incredible work ultimately in the world. Now, in addition to that, the gardener's role then is to manage these branches. And what we find about these branches is a couple of things. He, first of all, is going to manage those branches that are unproductive. Now, this may cause us a little bit of challenge at times because we see in this text that God talks about cutting off branches that are unproductive. What do we do with that? And so we find that what he's saying is, I think what Jesus is kind of making an allusion to is remember what's just happened before Jesus goes into this parable, that Jesus has just been released to go betray. And you think about it, Judas looked like a disciple. He prayed like a disciple. He acted like a disciple. He did all the things the disciples did, and yet Judas was not really a disciple. He walked away. And there's a sense of that that almost seems to paint a picture that we can look the part, right? But he was saying, do you really trust and believe in me? Have you really put your faith in me, the vine, which is Jesus the Christ? But when we put our trust and faith in him, we're connected into the vine. And people can look the part, but it's really that that makes the eternal difference. There was a contemporary of John Wesley. His name was George Whitfield. And George Whitfield, like I said, lived in the 1700s. He was an incredible evangelist. In fact, John Wesley worked some with him. And they did some ministry together. But George Whitfield was kind of like the Billy Graham of the day. I mean, when he preached, thousands showed up to listen. Which just amazes me, these people could come by the thousands, right? And they didn't even need amplification. I don't know how they did it. Maybe they all had better hearing. I don't know. But they did it, right? Massive groups came, and mass people would respond to the altar call when George Whitfield preached. And one person came up to George after he had shared a message, and he said, Mr. Whitfield, he said, how many people were converted? And Mr. Whitfield responded to the man. He said, I'll tell you in 5 years. And what he was getting at, he says, there can be people that responded, and we saw this probably in Billy Graham Crusades and things, people respond to the emotion of the moment. But he said, which are the ones who really see the fruit? Where do you see love? Where do you see transformation? Where do you see the move of God? And who just responded to an emotion? Who are really connected into the vine? And in a sense, there's kind of that piece here that Jesus is kind of getting at, that there is a true decision we have to respond to, a yes, right? To say, yes, ultimately to Jesus. And just let me kind of make a side note to this. I don't think this is just for followers. I think this can also be churches sometimes. You know, because if we look in Revelation chapter 2, if you remember, Jesus compares to the church's lampstands, and he talks to seven churches in the church of Asia, and he says, he kind of shares things he likes about them and things that aren't so well about them. But you remember, he talks like the church of Laodicea, and he says, you know, if you aren't hot or cold, I'm going to spit you out. I mean, that sounds pretty harsh. But Jesus makes some statements in some of those churches. He says, beware that I don't come and basically remove your lampstand. And so we don't want to be a church that's unconnected from Jesus, just looks like a church, does good deeds of a church, just, you know, all the images of it. But we really want to be connected and faithful, right? And I believe that's the heart of Aldersgate. I'm excited about that. But I just think it's real important we understand there's various conceptions of this that could be laid out. Now, the piece I want to focus on, though, is he moves on this vine dresser. He, on one hand, does remove unproductive parts. But the second thing that he is to really help the productive branches be more productive. Now, this is, of course, the vine that would be, we need to potentially is just growing maybe and not being as lush as we want it to be. But this is these productive branches, what we find is over time, I'm kind of getting out ahead of myself. I think a different picture. We'll be there in a minute. Do the next picture. Let me see it. Thank you. This is what we're heading for. That we're heading for being these productive branches that are producing incredibly good fruit. And so it's ultimately as we yield our lives to Christ, as we say yes to Jesus, then ultimately we start to grow out of Christ, right? And his Holy Spirit fills us, and out of us then fruit becomes produced. We've talked about this on multiple connections. And remember what we talked about, the Apostle Paul writes what the fruit is that grows out of us as we're connected into Jesus. This is a test. Let's go through them. Apostle Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. Now, here's the good news, y'all, and I know this is kind of a weird image, but it kind of works for me. You know, you think about a tree or a branch here, and this branch says, I want to have grapes. So if they think about it really hard, are they going to produce grapes just by saying, I'm going to be it, I'm going to be it, I'm going to be it? No. I mean, that seems stupid. I get it. But the reality is sometimes we're like that, and people were like, I'm just going to work harder, work harder, work harder. But look at what happens. It's really the natural flow of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit is allowed, or the sap's allowed to grow into the branch, it just naturally produces it. It just happens. And that's really what God wants to do through us. The more we're yielded, the more we're letting his Holy Spirit move in us, he just produces the fruit. You don't have to generate it all. And the good thing is, you know, like we, you know, we could say here, we got Jane up here in the front row, and Jane's life produces some wonderful fruit, all right? And then we can look at Alana and go, Alana's life is producing some really good fruit. But the good thing is, God doesn't look at Jane and looks at Alana and says, wow, Jane's got a lot of fruit, and Alana's not as much fruit. And so, sorry. God celebrates just our unique yielding and whatever fruit our lives produce. And God's wanting to always do more through it. So I think the deal is that's a goal. We're hopefully becoming that way. And here's the deal, folks. Look at this. This is kind of cool. So the vine is Jesus. The Holy Spirit, as we are become the branch, where the Holy Spirit's flowing in us, it starts to grow fruit in us of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And then out of the fruit, grow the works. Because I'm growing in love, I want to share that love. Because I'm kind, I want to be more kind. And it leads us into works because the fruit brings us there. It just becomes a natural outgrowth. And so that's, in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes, he says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So I just want us to be encouraged today as we look at that God's really wanting us to be those productive fruit people. Now, Then there's one more step that happens in this passage. We find that the gardener then, it says, to make the fruit or the branches more productive, prunes them. Now, here's a picture of kind of stuff, all right? So in this whole process, there can be lots of leaves, lots of twigs that can grow over time, and all of that can hinder the grapes being ultimately productive. They can limit the size of them. So a gardener is going to come in and going to prune back some of that shrubbery, that stuff that doesn't really matter, get it out of there so those grapes can even be more productive ultimately. And so as we think about in our own lives, God comes then wanting us to be productive. God's going to prune some things. And as we think about pruning, I think it can be things that wood and the extra leaves kind of things can be equated to selfishness and preoccupations and misplaced priorities or just things we know we're maybe walking in disobedience. And God just goes, we need to take care of cutting some of that out so that you can be even more productive. And spiritual pruning is really about God wanting to take us deeper in love with self as well as allowing us to be more productive and share God's love more in the world. And that pruning can take several forms. I think one of the ways God prunes us is through conviction. I don't know if you ever get convicted. Like there's a tap on the shoulder that says, Mitch, you need to pay attention. Not that he's going to say Mitch to you, right? Just to me, right? This week, yesterday, I was listening to somebody talk, and all of a sudden there was something in their words that God gave me one of those. Mitch, you need to listen to what they're saying. You need to pay attention to that in your life. And I made note, and now I'm trying to work on it. This week, earlier in the week, I had one of those about my driving. You know, I've told you about my driving. I tend to be a little bit aggressive at times. And I know sometimes when I get to the light and it's red and I'm behind a car and they're the car next to go, I'm always just kind of have that feeling like, I bet they're on their phone. They're not going to go, right? So when the light finally changes, if they don't go, I'm like, I told you they weren't going to go, and then it's like, now I've learned that's not a smart thing. Don't do that. But this week, as I was standing in line before I honked, I felt like God tapped me on the shoulder and said, Mitch, I want you just to take a breather. Would you do this for me? Before you get all huffed and puffed, just take 10 seconds before you do anything, if they don't move. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. Now, I'm going to get honked at, I know, but just saying, if they don't go, instead of getting so, but those moments when God is trying to do some internal pruning in us by the Holy Spirit, that we pay attention to that. But some other ways God does the pruning is through our trials. The struggles we're going through, our suffering. Sometimes we look at those things and we go, God, why are you picking on me? Why are you making life miserable for me? I don't believe God's doing any of that. I believe, though, God may use it to be a pruning process in us. It could be a season where God is saying, I know this isn't easy, because pruning is not easy. In fact, I was talking to Bill Glunt after the first service. He talked to a wine dresser, and he knows far more about pruning than I do, but he said, you know, when you go to prune something to make it the most productive, you have to cut it way, way back. And that's deep pruning. It's not just a little off the top, which is what I want Jesus to do. Just a little off the top, please. Don't deep prune me. But really, that's where he's going. So it's that idea that we want to be deep pruned. And so that pruning can be through those struggles and times. And it's, think about God's really just trying to help grow us in love with God. And sometimes even the pruning we're going through, weirdly enough, can be what's becoming something of a blessing for somebody else. Our pruning can help deepen somebody else's relationship as they watch us go through it. There's a whole lot of that connective kind of piece. And I think Jesus was doing this with his disciples, potentially on that night, as they're about to experience the cross, watching Jesus go to the cross, be beat, crucified, and all the suffering that's going to transpire. In a way, he's potentially preparing the disciples to say, I just want you to know some pruning's coming so that you can be more productive in whatever the future holds for you. So I think we kind of see this. So praying for God to do what needs to be done in our lives, that we might be the most productive possible for God's glory. So all of this then, as we go to the next, this is where we're heading for. Is we want God to make us the most productive possible in our lives. And we want to be this fruit that's just abiding in the vine. As we're abiding, God's be able to grow us, make it more fruitful, do incredible things. And here's a couple of things I want to highlight for you about this. You can just write these down if you want to. I don't have a slide for them. First of all, God doesn't want me to do more for him. He wants me to be more for him. God doesn't want you to do more for him. He wants you to be more for him. And so that's really, that's just a middle, that's being in the vine, right? It's not like I have to make it all happen to do it all. God just wants, I just want you to be. And so there's a couple of be statements that I think can help us do that. One is be focused on Jesus for true life. It's really the Christian walk is a continual just saying yes to Jesus. It's just focused on Jesus. When I get up in the morning, Jesus, I know you're there. When I go through my day, Jesus, I'm just available. I see you're there. You're my source of life. Jesus, I'm just keeping my eyes fixed on you. Periodically coming back and just remembering, be focused on Jesus. Secondly, be surrendered to and desiring his work in us by the Spirit. It's like, Lord, I give you permission to flow through me by your Spirit. I just give you permission to grow whatever you want to do in me. And so when I get up in the morning, I'm focused on Jesus and saying, Lord, I'm just yielding to you. I'm just yielding. Flow through me. When I come into worship, I'm yielding. Lord, flow through me. We're just continuing coming back to that moment. And then thirdly, be committed to being nurtured. I think one of the key things is, you know, sometimes, you know, we come to worship on a Sunday morning. I don't know if you're all like this. I can be like this. I get in there and I'm thinking, I sure hope the preacher gives me something today I can work with, you know? And I hope I go out, and if they don't, I go, yeah, that's what I thought, you know, kind of thing. Okay, I did not come with an attitude to be nurtured. But when I come, it's like whatever, God, you want to do in the worship today, whether it's you're going to speak to me by another person, whether it's going to touch me through a song, whether it's going to be through the word, whether it's going to be something totally random through the kids and the kids' message, something, I want to be attention, I want to be, so whatever it is you want to do to keep producing fruit through me is happening. And so also in that way, when we get up in the morning or doing prayer, it's like, you know, sometimes you pray and it's like, it's just all things are firing on all cylinders, and other days it's not working at all. But it's just like, Lord, I'm just here. I'm just being with you. I just want to be with you. And what you prompt me to, I'll just kind of respond. Allow him just to nurture your soul. And just be. Because as you are, you're opening up the gates for the Holy Spirit to flow in you to grow fruit. And you know what the cool thing is? Some of this fruit, you and I will never see. We'll never know it happened until we get to the other side. And God said, can I show you all that came through your life as you let me move through you? And it'll be amazing. So I just encourage us, focus on being in the vine. Letting God okay to prune. And as God moves us and deepens us, just know he's moving you ever deeper in love, that you're attached into the real source of life, and his name is Jesus.